And by way of introduction to this topic, I'd like to just tell you I don't come back to Mount St. Michael's often, maybe 3-4 times a year. But believe you me, there are many good memories here. I remember, as we were mentioning yesterday, when we first began our classes here at Mount St. Michael's, it was a very exciting time to go from the very small chapels and the very small classrooms, oftentimes sitting on folding chairs and writing notes on our laps, to come to a facility as large as Mount St. Michael's. The beautiful chapel with its stained glass windows, the large hallways, the beautiful grounds, the large classrooms, it was all something very, very unique. And there are many good memories of the students that we have taught here. Some of those students are your parents who went to school here at Mount St. Michael's. There are some students that I have to just smile when I think back on those days. When we first began our school, we had a boarding facility, and the boarders who were grade school age were down in the basement, and the high school students were up on the fourth floor. And among those grade school students was a little second grader by the name of Michael Anaya. I won't go into any of the episodes of his life. I'll spare him those interesting and also very amusing moments. But little did I know that little boy down there will one day be a priest and teaching here at Mount St. Michael's. I was in New Zealand in 1982 with Father Dennis, and I do remember the first time that I met Eddie and Jenny Gilchrist in Paraparaumu, or Paraparam, New Zealand. And there was a little boy there. His name was Julian, and he had told Father Dennis, he's just a little boy, that he would like to one day be a priest. And little did I know that I would ordain him a priest, and that he would be going back to New Zealand and covering the very same Mass circuit, offering Mass for the very same people that Father Dennis did a number of years ago. And the issue I'd like to make is that as I look back on those times and I smile, I also look at all of you boys and girls in this chapel. What does God have in store for each and every one of you? You are the future of the church. You are the future mothers and fathers who will raise Catholic families and Catholic children. You are the future sisters who will teach at Mount St. Michael's and maybe in other places and teach catechism and dedicate your life to God. You are the future priests who will one day be standing in this very pulpit and preaching, not so many years from now, to students just like you, sitting right here and listening to the very same thing that I'm going to say. But when we think of this topic, what we call vocations, we are reminded that God has a purpose, a plan for each and every one of us. There isn't anything that God has not overlooked. Everything is so well ordered and harmonized and designed in the world. And how much more in God's plan for our eternal salvation. It is a marvel for me. It's just something that you have to experience when you see how God has arranged things and how things have fallen into place. We could not even begin to plan or to try to think that we could have organized this, and it happened in such a unique way. I think of the occasions as a priest where you just happen to be at the right time, at the right place, to give someone the last rites. It's an overwhelming thing. There's no way I could have planned this. But God in His infinite wisdom knew that you were going to be there and that that person was going to be dying. And maybe that person, when they were younger, made the 9 first Fridays. Maybe they had a special devotion to Our Lady. Maybe they've been away from the church for many, many years. And that one particular moment, God so arranges in His providence that you can bring that soul back to God. You can reconcile that soul to God. It's a wonderful thing to be a priest. It's a wonderful thing to be a religious brother or sister by their consecration to God. Everything they do has double merit. They not only get the merit of the good work they do, but because they do it under vow, they get the double merit of doing it as a religious, as their life consecrated to God. And the religious, they're in such a wonderful profession. There are people who become doctors and nurses and lawyers. There are people who are construction workers and electricians and plumbers and cooks and whatever. But a religious, his or her profession is to serve God at every moment of their life. They are professional religious people. That is their profession. Every moment to give God greater honor and glory, every moment to be drawing down graces for the salvation of souls. The religious life with its schedule, with its prayer life, daily Mass and communion. It's a spiritual family of men or of women united together in a common purpose, the greater glory of God and their own sanctification and the particular apostolate that God has called them to. Now, I'd just like to say this with regard to vocation. Bottom line, I want all of you to do God's will. Do God's will. If God wants you to become a priest, God wants you to become a religious, if God wants you to, if you have a marriage vocation, but whatever that might be, whatever that vocation might be, let us have that attitude, that disposition. Not my will, Father, but thine be done. And now you, boys and girls, you're establishing the foundation for your future. As going to a Catholic school, learn your faith very well. Not just learn it intellectually, but more importantly, learn how to live your faith. Make it a habit. And what's a habit? A habit comes from the Latin habitus, something we wear. And by repetition, by doing a good work over and over and over again, it becomes second nature. It just becomes a habit. It becomes something that comes very easy. And we need to form, right now, good habits. No matter what your vocation is going to be, we have to form good habits. Most importantly, as you go to a Catholic school, the most important thing you want to be impressed in your mind is that I want to go to heaven. I got to get to heaven. And to get there, I have to be in a state of sanctifying grace. In order to get to heaven and be in a state of sanctifying grace, I have to keep God's commandments. And in order to do that, I need God's grace. I can't do it on my own. And we have to get in the habit of praying every day, praying well, getting in the habit of receiving the sacraments frequently, frequently receiving Holy Communion, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, to make it a practice to go regularly to confession. Why? Because not only do we get our sins forgiven, but we get a special sacramental grace to overcome sin for the future. But we have to get in the habit of doing these things right now. Don't put them off and say, you know, holiness, becoming a saint, I'll do that when I get older. No, you might not ever get there. Holiness begins now. And the way we become holy is trying to do our very best in the position that we're in at this moment. You are students in a Catholic school. Study hard. Really try to learn your lessons the best way you can. Obey the school rules. Be kind and charitable to your fellow students. Obey and respect your teachers. Do your best to benefit from daily Mass. Don't let your minds wander. Don't fall into the routine, go to Mass, and you're there and your mind is somewhere else. No, focus on the Mass. And receive Holy Communion. That one Holy Communion, to receive our Lord's body and blood. Jesus comes right within us. What a tremendous grace. And when we pray our prayers, especially the rosary, let us pray our prayers devoutly, not letting our minds wander. And that will be the best preparation for whatever vocation God may call you to. That will be the best preparation. If right now you're forming a good habit to pray every day, to receive the sacraments frequently, if right now you're making it a habit to avoid as best you can mortal sin, and you're making it a habit to keep God's commandments, practicing virtue, if you're doing that right now, that is the very best preparation you can make for whatever vocation you might have. And wherever God calls you, whatever vocation He calls you, you need to practice virtue. Let us remember, especially if you are called to the married state, you have grave responsibilities if you're a mother or a father to raise children and keep them on the right path, to keep them away from the many occasions of sin. It's not easy. And believe you me, the day will come when, especially if you've been a troublemaker in school and you have a marriage vocation, your children will be troublemakers. I'll never forget the one young lady. She was a high school student and a troublemaker. I remember I didn't teach the girls, but she was out of control, and the sisters called me to take care of her. And what she did was, she was down in the foyer area, and she lit up a cigarette and was smoking a cigarette in the foyer area and blowing smoke. Real attitude. In the back of my mind, I thought, this girl's hanging on by a thread, and if she doesn't shape up, she's not going to really persevere. But we chewed her out. We talked to her about what was important in life, etc., etc. Now she's a good Catholic mother, and she has a ton of kids. And, you know, it's interesting how people turn out. Sometimes you think people are not going to turn out well, and they do. And sometimes you think these are really fine Catholics, and some issues or happenings go on, and they fall away from the church. We just don't know. But the important thing is this. If we have weaknesses, if we have particular sins, just like when you work in a garden, when those little weeds start to come up, you want to pull them out when they're still little. You could pull them out with two fingers. But if you let that weed get a little bit bigger, you might have to use a whole hand and pull that dandelion or whatever, that sticker bush out. But if you let it grow even bigger, you might have to use two hands. And if it gets even bigger, you might need a shovel. And then you really have to work at it to break that root and pull it out. But now is the time for us to root out our sins and our faults and failings. Because you know what? God wants all of us to go to heaven. He wants all of us to become saints. It's not just for the priest and religious. It's for all of us. Because if we don't go to heaven, what is the option? To go to hell. And that is not an option. So when we think about vocation, now is the time for you to pray, to form good habits, to receive the sacraments, and to have that attitude, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? And to do God's will in your life. We very much need priests. We have so many places to go and so few priests to cover, and our priests are very, very extended. And you know, the beautiful thing about things is this. For those of you who think, oh, I don't want to be a priest, it's boring. It is not boring at all. It is very exciting. You stop and think that you unworthy though you be, are a factor. You're an instrument of God in bringing souls to heaven. The travels that you do, the extended trips that you make, the many wonderful people you come in contact with, the challenges that you face, it is very, very exciting and a great, great privilege and an honor to be another Christ. I don't want to be a religious. You know, what do? They just pray all day and they got to keep their mouth shut and they can't talk and, you know, no. A religious has a very beautiful and wonderful life. They are the spouse of Jesus Christ. And God will not outbe done in his generosity. If we are generous with God, then God will be more than generous with us. Religious experience a wonderful peace of soul, an interior happiness and satisfaction, knowing that they are drawing down graces for the salvation of souls. Whatever be your vocation, let us remember now is the time to begin preparing. Whatever God wants you to do. And by all means, do God's will. But as I began this sermon, let us remember that you are the future of the church. When I joined a seminary back in 1974, I was 15. And I never imagined the circumstances and the situations and finally where I'm at right now. Never would have imagined that at 15. I just wanted to do God's will and get to heaven and save my soul. And that is the attitude that all of you have to have because you are the future of the church. Father Casimir is not going to live forever. I'm not going to live forever. The sisters aren't going to live forever. You're going to have to take our place. You're going to have to pass on that torch of the true Catholic faith in these times. And is that going to be ever a challenge? As the world gets worse and worse, and as the devil knows he has but little time to destroy souls, he's going to increase his attacks on those remaining true to the Catholic faith. And if you are going to persevere in these times, if you're going to be the future of the church, then take your responsibility seriously now. Be good Catholic boys, good Catholic girls, good Catholic men, young men and women. Live your faith, love your faith, and be ready to be whatever God wants you to be. I hope and pray that all of you have a very successful school year, that God will bless Mount St. Michael Academy, bless the teachers and all of you students, and bless your parents. You know, it is a sacrifice to run the school, to keep the school financially going. The economy is very tight right now. There's a lot of sacrifices that go into making the school exist, but it's worth it. Because, like I say, you are the future of the church, and we need good Catholic men and women to be ready to take on and assume the responsibilities that are incumbent upon bishops, priests, religious, and Catholic men and women. So be good students now. Love your faith, live your faith, know your faith, and take every advantage of this wonderful opportunity to go to this Catholic school. And I would like to just end by saying, thank God that you go to a Catholic school. I remember one year I went to a public high school in Chicago, a zoo, fighting impurity, drugs, blasphemous talk, immoral language. It was so prevalent, it was just surrounded you everywhere. In fact, you know what? It was that year going to a public school, public high school, that really was the impetus for me to join the seminary. I was thinking, these boys and girls my age are going to hell, and they're going really fast, and they have lost all understanding of what it's all about. They act as if there's no God, no commandments, no heaven, no hell. This is scary. I don't want to be in their position because they are totally blinded. But thank God that you go to a Catholic school and that you can be protected and sheltered from many of those occasions of sin. And one last thing, too. The occasions of sin that we have around us are everywhere, especially on the internet, on television, and movies, and music, and magazines. Let us not put ourselves in any occasions of sinful offending God. It isn't worth it. For all the work and all the effort that we do go into putting in to keep this Catholic school going, it's going to go right out the window if you expose yourselves to serious occasions of sin. And you're actually inviting the devil into your soul. Come on in. Show me all of your, you know, all of your temptations and all your snares. You don't need to go there. Be resolved. Stay away from the occasions of sin. Any persons, places, or things that will lead you away from God. That is how you will lose your soul. That is how you lose your faith. So stay away from the occasions of sin. And especially those of you Catholic parents, you want vocations in your family? Be the good example of prayer and exhortation to the practice of the faith. But also remember, keep your children from occasions of sin. You can send them to a Catholic school, but if they're getting ruined by what they see on television, what they're exposed to on the internet, you will answer to God for that. And I'm sure that many of you are certainly aware of that, and you're doing your best to keep your children from occasions of sin. Remember, we all have a fallen human nature, and how clever the devil is, and how attractive and alluring he makes sin appear. We've got to stay away from those occasions of sin. That very point is so important if we're going to have vocations and foster vocations. Children's innocence can be lost by just a momentary what they might see on television or see in a movie or see on the internet. Be vigilant, be on your guard to keep your children from occasions of sin. So on this occasion, when we have the opportunity to preach to all of you, that's not very often, we'd just like to take all of this opportunity just to remind you, do God's will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.